Shalom and Yeshua. This is Rabin, Dr. Deborah Brandt, and we're continuing our Shabbat teaching on the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and revelation in Him. And this is part three, which will end this series. So we open up in our foundation scripture is Ephesians 1:17. I'm reading from a couple different translations. This is a New American Standard 95 version. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. Again, we already looked at wisdom and knowledge, and now we're looking at revelation. The Amplified says, "For I always pray to you, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Father of glory, that He may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets, in the deep and intimate knowledge of Him." Elvino Mokane, our Father, King Father, I thank you that as we study your word, that we have spiritual eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive. Father, thank you for that, for your wisdom, your knowledge, and your revelation as we study your word. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, amen. So in the whole of these prayers, again, Paul or Shaul prayed to actually two prayers for the Ephesians, but it's for the whole body of Messiah. We find one in Ephesians 1 and the other in Ephesians chapter 3. So this is just an overview of what he prayed for. Number one, the spirit of wisdom. Two, the spirit of revelation, which we're going to look at today. Three, full enlightenment of the truth. Again, what Yeshua defined truth as, the word of Yahweh Elohim is truth. Four, the hope of his calling, what our hope is in. Five, the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. Six, the exceeding greatness of his power toward those who believe. Seven, spiritual power in the inner man. Eight, indwelling Messiah. Nine, to be rooted in love. 10, spiritual understanding, which we covered. 11, to know the love of Messiah. And 12, to be filled with all the fullness of Yahweh Elohim. Again, the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, wisdom and revelation, they already had the spirit of sonship, the earnest of the Ruach HaKodesh. Ephesians 1:13 and 14, again, this is speaking to all believers. After you heard the message of truth, the good news of your salvation, and when you put your trust in Him, you are sealed with the promise, Ruach HaKodesh. So upon being born again, you are sealed with the Ruach HaKodesh. He is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of his possession, which is referring to us, to his glorious praise. Now he prays that we might receive the fullness of the spirit or Ruach of which they had only a measure. Ephesians 3:16 and 17, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man, so that Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith, and you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth. Again, to comprehend is to understand. And as we look in Proverbs, a lot of times you see wisdom and knowledge working together, knowledge and understanding working together, revelation working together with wisdom and knowledge. And to know the love of Messiah, which surpasses knowledge, again, human knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Again, as we studied before, there's human knowledge and then there is spiritual knowledge. And this is what we are looking to walk in Messiah Yeshua, spiritual wisdom, spiritual knowledge, and spiritual revelation. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory in the church, or the Greek is the ecclesia, in Messiah Yeshua to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Again, Ephesians 3:18, we see that God's love, again, we need that revelation of his love, of what true love is. His love is boundless, it's endless, it's fathomless, exhaustless, and measureless. All that is included in the breadth, length, depth, and height is submerged in the immensity of the love of God, which comprehends all that is above, below, past, present, and future. It encompasses the universe in time and eternity. It reaches to the depth of sin and infamy, to the height of infinite divinity. It passes all knowledge and wisdom. Again, referring to human knowledge and wisdom. God's gift is the measure of his love. The death of Messiah is the measure of his love. And the condescension of the Ruach HaKodesh to transform men and work in their lives is the measure of the love of the Spirit to man. So Yahweh Elohim, the Almighty, our Abba Father, his love was manifested in Messiah Yeshua, to the fact that he allowed his son, Messiah Yeshua, Yahweh in the flesh, to pay our penalty for our sins. So even to become born again, as we receive the word, the Ruach, again, in his mercy, reveals to us that the word is truth and that we need redemption. The spirit of revelation, the Greek is apokalypsis. The feminine is apokalypseos, and it means to reveal, and the noun is apokalypto, to reveal, revelation, uncovering, unveiling, disclosure. So as we study the word, again, the Ruach HaKodesh is working with us to reveal the depths of the word of God, to give us the wisdom and understanding and knowledge that we need in the word, by revealing, again, through the word, through the Spirit, what the Father has for us, what he expects of us, how he loves us, his precious promises, who we are in Messiah Yeshua, all that he has for us. One of the three words referring to the second coming of Messiah. So a lot of times that revealing is referring to the return, the second coming of Yeshua HaMashiach, and the end of times or end of days. 1 Corinthians 1:7, so you are not lacking in any spiritual gift. The Father does not want to us to lack in any spiritual gift, and revelation is a spiritual gift. As you eagerly wait for the revealing, again referring to the return of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. 2 Thessalonians 1:7, and relief to you who suffer trouble along with us at the revelation, or again, revealing, unveiling, disclosure of the Lord Yeshua from heaven with his mighty angels, again, referring to Yeshua's return, his second coming. And again, this is, as we study his word, as we study prophecy, the Yahweh Elohim, by his Ruach HaKodesh, reveals to us, again, the return, the promises of the return of Messiah. 1 Peter 1:7, these trials are so that the true metal of your faith, far more valuable than gold, which perishes through, though refined by fire, may come to light in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Messiah Yeshua. Again, referring to, in this context, his return. And he, again, here he speaks of, again, that trials, so that the true metal of your faith. So again, we go through trials to, again, get rid of the dross in our life, the works of the flesh in our life, so that Messiah would be revealed in us as well, to other people through our life that we live in him, revealing who Messiah Yeshua is to those that we share his love with. The other two words are epiphania, or appearing. Again, this is referring to the return of Messiah Yeshua. 1 Timothy 6:14, to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of Yeshua, the Messiah, okay, referring to, again, his return, another form of revelation to reveal, and parousia, coming and presence. Apocalypsis is a grander and more comprehensive word, includes not merely the things shown and seen, but the interpretation, the unveiling of the same. The Epiphania appearances are contained in the Apocalypsis revelation, being separate points or moments therein. Messiah's first coming was Epiphania. Again, he came to reveal God's plan, reveal redemption. The second, Apocalypsis, will be far more glorious, what his return. First Messiah came. Again, the scriptures reveal to us that he came first as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world for all those who put faith in him. At his return, he will be returning as the Lion of Judah. 1 Thessalonians 2:1, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, concerning the coming of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah and our gathering together in him. So here we see spoken of removal of ignorance. This is what Paul was addressing because they didn't have revelation of that. Let's look at that scripture. 1 Thessalonians 2:1. Okay, 1:2:1. Oh, I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or message or letter as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. So there's going to come a time, again, and revelation means to reveal, that, again, people have been trying to guess from, you know, the time of Yeshua who the anti-Messiah was. Again, there are plenty of types of anti-Messiah. You know, Nero, Hitler, all the, you know, the dictators that have come through the years, the murderers, Spanish Inquisition, all those who have come that have tormented and murdered Jews and Christians in Messiah Yeshua. But there will become a time where he will be revealed and he will be known. So here Paul is dealing with the removal of ignorance and darkness by the communication of light and knowledge, illumination, and instruction. So again, revelation is bringing light to our understanding, knowledge, illumination, and instruction. Again, you see how these all work together. Luke 2:32, a light for revelation, again, speaking about Yeshua to the nations and the glory of your people, Israel. Isaiah 42:6-7, I, Adonai, called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, by opening blind eyes, bringing prisoners out of the dungeon, and those sitting in darkness out of the prison house. Yeshua did both. He opened physically blind eyes, delivered people physically who are tormented and imprisoned by demonic forces, but also spiritually opened our eyes through the revelation, again, giving us light, insight, understanding into the need for redemption and salvation, revealing to us that Yeshua is the Messiah, opening up our blind eyes, bringing us out. We were prisoners to HaSatan, delivering us out of that dungeon, delivering us out of darkness. 2, in the sense of revelation, disclosure, manifestation of that which becomes evident by the event. Romans 2:5, but by your hard and unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment is revealed. So on the day of judgment, God's righteous judgment is going to be revealed in his dealing with sinful man, those that who are dependent on their own flesh and their own self-righteousness. Romans 8:19, the manifestation of the sons of God means the revelation of the glory. Again, we are his children, his spiritual sons and daughters. Romans 8:18 and 8:21, which they will experience the true worth of the believers as they experience suffering is not made manifest now. Again, as believers, we are to expect suffering, but we will see in the end the full revelation of his glory and his purpose in those sufferings. But it'll be when the Lord comes again, and the glory of each believer will be proportionate to his suffering and sacrifice for Messiah. Again, speaking of rewards, Romans 18:19, for I consider the sufferings of this present time not to be worthy to be compared with the coming of the glory to be revealed to us. For the creation eagerly waits the revelation of the sons of God. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Luke 20:36, for they cannot even die anymore because they are like angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. Again, speaking about what happens to, well, let's look at that scripture. Luke 20. Here Yeshua is answering a question. Let's see. Beginning with, again, this is referring to the resurrection. Now there came to him some of the Sadducees who say there is no resurrection. And they questioned him, saying, teacher, Moshe wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife, and he is childless, his brother should marry the wife and raise up children to his brother. Now there were seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died childless, and the second and the third married her, and in the same way all seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, which man's wife will she be? For all seven have been married to her. So now Yeshua is revealing the truth to these Sadducees. Yeshua said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot even die anymore because they are like angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. Hallelujah. So here we see they had a question again, trying to, you know, this group trying to trip him up because they didn't believe in a resurrection. How sad. And here Yeshua is giving them the answer to their question. Romans 8:14, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So again, that bears witness, those of us that are believers in Messiah Yeshua, we are led by the Spirit of God. Therefore, we are sons of God. We belong to him. And again, that includes men and women together. Why? Because we are obedient to the Father. As children, we are obedient and are led by the Spirit of Yahweh in obedience to him. Romans 8:19, for the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Galatians 3:26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Messiah Yeshua. This is, I think, David Stern's commentary. Our assurance is built on our being adopted as Yahweh or God's sons, Abba, We do not come in a spirit of slavery, implying alienation, but one of deep intimacy, like children who lovingly call their father daddy, which is what Abba really means. Moreover, the filial relationship to the Father is not only personal, but legal, so that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Messiah, our brother. The adoption as sons is only for those who are led by God's Spirit. That is, only for those who have put their trust in Yeshua, because it is He who sends the Spirit, John 14:26. And those who do not have Yeshua do not have the Father either, 1 John 2:23. But in the case of believers, the Spirit of God Himself bears witness with our own spirits that we are children of God. The adoption process will become complete when our whole bodies are redeemed and set free. Other verses on adoption we see in John 1:12, Galatians 4:4 and 5, and Ephesians 1:5. Adoption is an aspect, along with reconciliation, of being restored to God's favor from our former condition as His enemies. And I want to read those scriptures because, again, unfortunately, sometimes even in the Messianic world, Messianic fellowships, etc., that sometimes those who aren't Jewish are made to feel as they are second-class citizens, or are told that the Torah is only for the Jewish people. If you're Gentiles, it's not for you. But the Ruach just revealed something to me, again, through the word, that, again, say you had, you're a family and you have natural children, but you want to adopt a child. So you adopt that child may not be, again, from your bloodline, but that child is still considered part of the family. So that, again, to say, this would be an example, is for that, how cruel would it be for that parent to say, well, you are adopted, but you are not equal to my natural born children. Only my natural born children have the right to our inheritance. You are just adopted. You are our child legally, but you don't have the same rights. Well, you know what? That's a lie, because a close friend of ours, Rabbi Silver, and his wife Sharon, they adopted two Chinese children from China. And through the adoption process, they were told by the judge, you are not to treat these children any different than if they were naturally born. They have all the rights, privileges of any natural born child. So again, we see that same thing in Messiah. Again, it's salvation is not according to bloodline, though it came through the Jewish people, and again, through the covenant that Yahweh made with them. But it was also His desire for the nations who put their faith in Him to be grafted in and be treated as heirs in Messiah Yeshua as well. Many Western societies stigmatize persons who have been adopted, but God's view of adoption is very positive. Believers who are adopted become first-class sons, even joint heirs with the Messiah. Moreover, first century attitudes towards adoption must have been very positive too, else this passage would not have resonated with its believers. Were this biblical perspective more prevalent today, adoption could become a major solution to the problem of abortion. Now, the issue is, it still is a solution, and pro-life organizations do promote to women who are considering abortion, the alternative to not kill the child, but let them be adopted. Whereas the pro-death industry, the abortion industry, does not give a woman this option. Their only option is to murder the baby. So again, the confrontation between right to life and freedom of choice would not be altogether eliminated, but its scope would be greatly reduced. And again, this is what the ministry is of pro-life organizations, is to give these women an alternative that they could leave the responsibility of raising this baby, allowing it to have life, to parents who cannot have children and who will give it a give her or she him or him him or her a life to live. Again, we need to that option is not given by the murder industry of abortion, and that's exactly what it is. So here, the pregnant woman, not able or not wanting to raise their children, could be grateful to the adoptive parents, to a changed society, for resolving their situation in a way that allowed a life to continue instead of being cut off. The children could grow up gratified at having been chosen by their adoptive parents, just as believers are thankful to have been adopted and transferred from death to eternal life by the God of the Father, whom we are to imitate. Again, waited for is the Greek apektomai, means to, again, wait for. The revelation of the mysteries refers to divine purposes and doctrines which before were unknown or concealed. Again, what are they speaking about? In the prophetic, the words of the prophets. Again, a lot of times, prophecy isn't understood until it was revealed. So again, a lot of the prophecies regarding Yeshua, they're written there, but yet the understanding wasn't there. Okay. The revelation of exactly, who this was or how it would come about, but that revelation was revealed through Yeshua the Messiah and in the New Testament of God's plans and purposes, again, for salvation for Israel and all those who would put their faith in the Messiah of Israel, Yeshua, and the Almighty God of Israel. Romans 16, 25 and 26. Now to the one who is able to strengthen you according to my good news and the proclamation of Yeshua the Messiah, according to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept secret for long ages, but now is revealed through the writings of the prophets, has been made known to all the nations according to the commandment of the eternal God to bring about obedience to the faith, to the only wise God through Yeshua the Messiah. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Again, what was that message hidden? Was that the salvation would be open to the nations, the Gentiles, through Messiah, would be grafted in, Romans 11, to the olive tree of Israel. 1 Corinthians 14, 6, but now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you? Again, this is speaking about the spiritual gifts. Unless I speak to you by way of revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching. So again, he's saying, again, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of giving a message in tongues in the assembly, but there has to be interpretation, and also the gifts of tongues for our prayer life as well. So he goes on to say, so again, he says, what good is it if I come in and speaking in tongues, that heavenly language, but you don't understand what I'm saying? What is it then, brothers and sisters? Whenever you come together, each one has a psalm, a teaching, a revelation, again, an understanding, a revealing, a tongue or interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If someone speaks in a tongue, let it be by two or at the most three, and in each turn, let one be interpreted. So here, there is a halakha being laid out regarding to the amount of, again, this isn't tongues a prayer language, this is tongues revealing a word of encouragement, a word of knowledge, a word of revelation through the Ruach HaKodesh. And it says only let it be done by two or three, but there has to be one who interprets. Again, the interpreter is one who is given the revelation or the revealing of what is being said to the edification, again, of the body of Messiah. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the community, but to speak himself to himself and to God. So here again, in a community, we should be aware of those that function in those gifts. So this is what Paul's saying, if there's no one that has that gift of interpretation, then let him keep silent, the one who's giving that you know, tongue interpretation. Or it says, pray for the interpretation that you can give it as well. Again, this is a gift that God has given us to edify the body of Messiah, edify the community. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others evaluate. So here, let's look at, again, what that word is in the Greek. Okay, that word in the Greek where it says, therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. And also verse 39, it talks about, let's see, I'm sorry, 29, let two or three, again, prophets, that's Strong's number G4396. That word in the Greek is prophetes or prophetō, means to tell beforehand, which is from pro, before or forth, and phemi, to tell. A prophet, a foreteller of future events, also an interpreter, what the Greeks call homantes, the one who received the oracle. In the New Testament, prophetes corresponds to the person who in the Tanakh spoke under divine influence and inspiration. This included the foretelling future events or exhorting, reproving, and threatening of individuals or nations as the ambassador of God and the interpreter of his will to men. Ezekiel 2 is a reference. Hence, the prophet spoke not of his own thoughts, but what he received from God, retaining, however, his own consciousness and self-possession. Again, especially, we see that again in the functioning of the gifts of the Spirit. In a general sense, prophetess is used for any friend of God to whom he makes known his will, such as Abraham and the patriarchs. again, the New Testament speaks of prophets. I'm not going to go into that now, but here we see, again, there were prophets. So I'm going to pull the notes back up here. In the time of Yeshua in the first century. And again, why? Because Paul's speaking, let two or three prophets, those who God has revealed, again, events or things to come, not the same as, again, the prophets in the Tanakh, who, again, they function in a different anointing and calling. But this is for encouragement and exhortation and warning and preparation. A good example of this is a book I read a long time ago, my brother Andrew, who talked about what was going on with believers in communist Russia. Says they used to meet in homes because they couldn't meet in public or they would be thrown in prison because of their faith in Yeshua. So they would meet in homes, and many times a word would come forth, again, a prophetic word, telling them, don't meet in this house, it's going to be raided, meet over here instead. So here it was a revealing to them through somebody who operated in that gift of prophecy as a, again, New Testament prophet, to warn them regarding an impending danger. And if they hadn't listened, heeded that warning, they would have been thrown in prison. But they heeded that warning because they knew it was from Yahweh Elohim, excuse me, and they met someplace else again, and they were protected and God kept them safe. So we see that, you know, how important it is, again, that gift of revelation, that spiritual gift, is in operation to, again, reveal things that are hidden in darkness to protect us as well, to give us, again, illumination into the word, to help us to know dangers that might be ahead. Again, this is all comes from our close, again, we're going to see that word, that another a Hebrew word that refers to this relationship with the Father as we are doing his word. Why? Because the enemy wants to come to steal, kill, and destroy our mission, our calling. But Yeshua said he has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And the abundant life is found in walking in the truth of his word and the gifts that he has given to us. But if something is revealed, again, 1 Corinthians 14:30, if something is revealed to another sitting nearby, let the first one become silent. Again, they would know this by the Ruach. For you can all prophesy one by one, so all may learn and be encouraged. Again, that word prophesy is the Greek G4395. And again, it's the same word prophetio. It means, again, prophet or to prophesy, to reveal. So let's just go, let me pull back up the notes here. So of revelations from God the Father or Messiah. So it speaks of revelations, a revealing of God the Father or Messiah. Again, a spirit of revelation means a spirit which can fathom and unfold the deep things of God. Again, God is never, excuse me, going to reveal something that is not in agreement with his word. Again, we see a lot of these cults fell into the deception of a, quote, angel of light, a person. An example is the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. Again, they said, well, this was revealed, this truth was revealed to us through this, quote, prophet, who in reality was a false prophet. Why? Because what he said wasn't in alignment with the word of God. So it was a false revelation. So when the Father reveals truth to us, it is always going to be in agreement with his word. It's not going to be another revelation separate from his word, causing us to follow someone false. Again, we see that warning in the Torah regarding false prophets. 2 Corinthians 12:1. I must go on boasting, though it does no good. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man, a Messiah, whether in the body, I don't know, or whether out of the body, I don't know. God knows. 14 years ago, he was caught up to the third heaven. I know such a man, whether in the body or outside the body, I do not know. God knows. He was caught up to paradise and heard words too sacred to tell, which a human is not permitted to utter. Verse 7, even in the extraordinary quality of the revelations, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me, so I would not exalt myself. So here, Shaul, he says, I know a man, namely myself, Shaul. Out of modesty, he prefers to speak of himself in the third person when talking about visions and revelations. Again, why? Because people could take it wrongly. They could take it like, oh, you're bragging about yourself. You're arrogant. You're exalting yourself. So he was being very careful that God would get the glory and that they wouldn't take it as him exalting himself. But he goes on to say, even the extraordinary quality of the revelations. Again, people teach this thorn in the flesh was a sickness or a disease. It was not. It was persecution, a messenger of Satan to torment me so I would not exalt myself. So again, through all his trials and persecutions, God used it, again, to keep him humble before him. That is, speaking of himself is clear from, again, 2 Corinthians 12:6-7. So that when he says in verse 5, about such a man I will boast, but about myself I will not boast. It is as if Shaul were two persons, or perhaps more accurately, it is that he is now completely objective about his experience and utterly unattached to it. Again, we have to remember his background. He said that he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was very high up in the doctrine of the Pharisees. He was well versed in oral Torah, written Torah, the laws of the Pharisees, again, the oral teachings, the rabbinical laws. And again, part of those rabbinical laws was the separation that the Gentiles had no part in, you know, in the blessings of Abraham. Now, I did read one rabbinical commentary, which again, you have to know the word, that they said that, oh, well, the Gentiles, if they just follow the Noetic, the Noahite laws, that they will have a portion in the world to come. Well, again, that is salvation by works. There is only salvation in Messiah Yeshua, whether you are from the seed of Abraham, which is a nation of Israel, or you are from the nations. There is only one way, and that is Yeshua. There is no salvation in any other name, and there is no salvation in the works, again, of the law, speaking to rabbinical interpretation of, again, oral Torah, which we are covering in Galatians. So again, Revelation is the Greek word apokalypsis. It means to reveal, uncovering, unveiling, or disclosure. Galatians 1:11-12. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the good news proclaimed by me is not man-made. I did not receive it from any human, nor was I taught it, but it came through a revelation of the Messiah, Yeshua the Messiah. So it was Yeshua the Messiah who revealed this to Shaul personally. Galatians 2:2, because of a revelation, I went up and presented them the good news that I proclaim about the Gentiles. So here, God reveals to Paul that he was to proclaim, again, the good news of salvation among the Gentiles. But I did so privately to those who seemed to be influential to make sure I would not run or not had run in vain. So it was God that revealed to him that he was to do this. Again, in Revelation, it speaks of future events where it forms part of the title of the book. Revelation 1:1-3, the revelation of Yeshua the Messiah, which God gave him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, or Yochanan, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Yeshua the Messiah, to everything he saw. How fortunate is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, to those who hear and keep what has been written in it, for the time is near. So the Father has provided us a revealing of the end times through his prophets, through Revelation. So here we see Yochanan functioned as a prophet because Yeshua revealed to him things to come, which were to be written down and which we are to study and to be aware of. The Hebrew word to reveal or to know is the word yada. It's a verb meaning to know, to learn, to perceive, to discern, to experience, to confess, to consider, to know people relationally, to know how, to be skillful, to be made known, to make oneself known, or to make known. Again, the meaning of the word depends, because these are the different meanings, but depends on the context of which it is being used. The simple meaning to know is its most common translation out of the 800 or more uses. One of the primary uses means to know relationally and experientially, or by experience. It refers to knowing or not knowing persons. Genesis 29:5, Exodus 1:8. Personally or by reputation, Job 19:13. Again, the context in which the word is being used. The word also refers to knowing a person sexually. It's that, again, intimate relationship between a husband and a wife. Again, in scriptures, you will see that Adam knew his wife. They use that term yada, referring to sexual relationships. Genesis 4:1, Genesis 19:5, 1 Kings 1:4. It may even describe knowing or not knowing God or foreign gods, again, depending on the context. Exodus 5:2, Deuteronomy 11:28, Hosea 2:20, and Hosea 8:2. Again, I recommend, again, this is why I provide these notes to the congregation, that you go into an even deeper study and read these reference scriptures regarding the words we are looking at in Greek and Hebrew for the word to reveal or revelation. But it especially signifies knowing what to do or think in general, especially with respect to God. Isaiah 1:3 and Isaiah 56:10. One of its most important uses is depicting God's knowledge of people. The Lord knows their hearts entirely. Exodus 3:12, 2 Samuel 7:20. Psalm 139:4, Jeremiah 17:9, and Hosea 5:3. Again, there is nothing hidden from the Ruach of Yahweh Elohim. We can hide things from people, but we cannot hide anything from Yahweh, our Elohim, Abba. God knows the suffering of his people and he cares. We see that in Exodus 2:25. The word also describes knowing various other things. When Adam and Eve or Hava sinned, knowing good and evil, Genesis 3:22, refers to knowing nothing, 1 Samuel 20:39, and knowing the way of wisdom, Job 28:23. One could know by observation, 1 Samuel 23:22 to 23, as when Israel and Pharaoh came to know God through the plagues he brought on Egypt, Exodus 10:2. People knew by experience, Joshua 23:14, that God kept his promises. This kind of experience could lead to knowing by confession, Jeremiah 3:13 and 14:20. Persons could be charged to know what they were about to do, Judges 18:14, or what the situation implied, 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 7. So that they would be able to discriminate between right and wrong, good and bad, what was not proper or advantageous. Again, we see that revelation abiding within us in the Ruach by revealing to us, again, what we should do or what we shouldn't do, what is correct, what is wrong, what is good or what is bad. The word describes different aspects of knowing in its other forms. Again, we see knowing and revelation working hand in hand. In the passive forms, it describes making something or someone known, again, a revealing. The most famous illustration is Exodus 6:3, when God asserted to Moshe that he did not make himself known to the fathers of Yahweh. So here he is revealing himself to Moshe as Yahweh. Again, we see progressive revelation starting with Genesis through all the way through to the end of the Bible, God progressively revealing his will, his plans and purposes through the prophets, through, again, the Torah, the prophets and the writings being fulfilled in Messiah Yeshua, and even still future things to come that he has revealed to us in his word. Again, the fullness of that revelation is in the word. 1 Samuel 2:27, then a man of God came to Eli, and Eli was a priest of God, and said to him, thus says the Lord, did I not indeed reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in bondage to Pharaoh's house? So again, we see that word yada, reveal. Proverbs 8:6, again, these are scriptures in which this word is used. Proverbs 8:6, listen, for I will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal right things. Isaiah 26:21, for behold, the Lord is about to come out from his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth will reveal her bloodshed and will no longer cover her slain. So again, those things that were done in secret, the shedding of blood that many times was done in secret, will be revealed by the light in the judgment of Yahweh Elohim. Jeremiah 33:6, behold, I will bring to it health and healing, and I will heal them, and I will reveal to them an abundance of peace and truth. Again, that peace and truth is found in Messiah Yeshua, and this is a promise to Israel. Daniel 2:47, the king answered Daniel and said, surely your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, since you have been able to reveal this mystery. So again, we see in the book of Daniel how Yahweh revealed to Daniel things in the end times. He revealed to Daniel actually the exact time when Yeshua, when the Messiah Yeshua would come. And his, we see that in chapter 9, his first visitation, his first coming. He also revealed to him the tribulation period. He revealed to him again the things in the that would happen in the end of days. And he functioned as a prophet of Yahweh Elohim, and also gave him the ability to reveal again interpretations of dreams that the Nebuchadnezzar had, again to reveal the dream in the end, again stating that it's only God that can give this interpretation, that again the king Nebuchadnezzar asked to be revealed, because he knew Daniel had that gift of revelation, he had that gift of revealing, but Daniel was careful to give the glory back to God, that it was only God who could reveal these things to him. And we looked at that in our study of Daniel. Matthew 11, 27, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Again, we can bring that word know back to the Hebrew, which is yada, that intimate knowledge. And it is the Son, Yeshua, who came to reveal that intimate knowledge of Yahweh Elohim to us. Matthew 16:17, and Yeshua said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So in Matthew, what was revealed to Simon Barjona, let's look at that. Matthew 16:17. Verse 13, now when Yeshua came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do you say that the Son of Man is? Again, the Son of Man is a messianic title. And they said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Barjona, or Peter, answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Yeshua said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Luke 10:22. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Again, similar to Matthew 16. Galatians 1:16, to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood. So here again, this is Shaul receiving that revelation of Yeshua, what his calling is. Let's just look at that real quick. Galatians chapter 1. let's see. Verse 15. But when God, who set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and call me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas or Peter and stayed with him 15 days. Again, but I did not see any other of the apostles except James, the brother. So here he's saying he received this revelation, this revealing from Yeshua himself, which is in agreement again with what the apostles taught as well. Philippians 3:15, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude, that if any that and if anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. So let's look at that in context. Again, the Ruach is going to reveal things to us in our own personal lives as well. So let's see. Let's begin with, let's see, where are we? Philippians 3:15. Okay, let's see. Let's begin with verse 8. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Messiah Yeshua, my Lord. Again, we can bring that back to the Hebrew, yada, that intimate knowledge, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Messiah and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law. Again, what is referring to? He's referring to the oral written traditions of the rabbis, or trying to walk out his righteousness by works, but that which is through faith in Messiah, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him. Again, bring that back, that word yo, intimately, yada, intimately know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Messiah Yeshua. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Messiah Yeshua. Now here, verse 15, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude, what he just mentioned above. And if anything, you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard in which we have attained. So again, if we are getting off track, it is Yahweh Elohim through his Ruach HaKodesh will reveal that to us. Again, the Greek word apokalupto, that is Strong's G601. It is from two Greek words, apo, from, and galupto, to cover or conceal. Literally to remove a veil or covering, exposing to open view that what was hidden, to make manifest or reveal a thing previously secret or unknown. So again, here's another form of that word to reveal, apokalupto, which is referring to future. Luke 2:34, and Simeon offered a bracha over them and said to Miriam, his mother, behold, this one is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel and to be a sign that is opposed. So the thoughts of many hearts may be uncovered, and even for you, a sword will pierce through your soul. So he's using that word, again, apokalupto, which is revealing, again, the to Miriam the purpose of her son, who, again, Yahweh's son, but her son in the flesh, what is going to happen. 1 Corinthians 3:13, each one's work will become clear, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed by fire, and the fire itself will test each one's work, what sort it is. So when we stand before Yahweh, again, that fire is going to burn off the dross, burn off the works of the flesh, and what will be revealed are, again, what has been the gold in our life, the works that have been done according to obedience to Yahweh Elohim. Particularly applied to supernatural revelation, again, the word apocalypto, Matthew 11:25. At that time, Yeshua said in response, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and of earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and discerning," again, from human wisdom, human discerning, "and revealed them to infants." Again, Yeshua said we have to be as children to receive, again, that revelation, again, have pure hearts in Messiah Yeshua. And that is, again, those that have that when the gospel was preached to you, because your heart was, you know, again, seeking God, even though maybe the flesh was doing the opposite, when that word was preached to you, you received it as a trusting child, as the truth, and you acted upon it, not depending on your own worldly wisdom or your own discerning of how righteous you are without Messiah. Matthew 11:27, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father." Again, bringing it back to that Hebrew, yada, intimate knowledge. "And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal." So it's Yeshua's will for us to have that yada, that intimate knowledge of God the Father, who is revealed to us through the word of Yahweh Elohim, from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. Matthew 16:7, again, we read that scripture about how the Father revealed to Simon, again, who that Yeshua was the Messiah. 1 Corinthians 2:6-9, "We do not speak wisdom, however, among those who are mature, but not a wisdom of this age or the rulers." I'm sorry, we do speak wisdom, speaking of spiritual wisdom, "however, among those who are mature, but not a wisdom of this age and of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing." Again, speaking of worldly wisdom, "rather we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, a wisdom that has been hidden, which God destined for our glory before the ages. None of the rulers of this age understood it." Again, I believe he's referring to the Jewish rulership at that time, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, or again, turned him over to the Roman authorities to be crucified. But again, both had a hand, the Gentiles and Israel both had a hand, again, this leader, the leadership in crucifying Yeshua the Messiah, because he came to die again for redeem Israel and also the nations. So again, they were spiritually blinded to this, because if they understood, which again the early believers understood, the apostles who Yeshua chose, they understood, again, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. Again, they didn't understand who they were crucifying, that it was the Messiah. "But as it is written, things no eye has seen and no ear has heard, that have not entered the heart of mankind, these things God prepared for those who love him." So again, a revealing. Verse 10, "But God revealed these things to us through the Ruach." So that spirit of revelation comes through the Ruach. "For the Ruach searches all things, even the depths of God." Romans 1:18-19. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. In unrighteousness, they suppress the truth, because what can be known about God is plain to them, for God has shown it to them." So we see in Romans 1, where so let's look at that. Beginning with verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, again, revealed unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. Why? Because we've all been given the spirit of Yahweh Elohim. Again, going back to creation, Yahweh blew the spirit again of God into his spirit, his ruach, into Adam, and he became a living soul. But through sin, due to Adam and Hava's fall, again, sin entered man and they became separated from God. But that knowledge is still there. That, but they, those that they suppress it and choose to believe a lie instead of the truth. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. So the Father has revealed to himself in his creation as well. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Again, referring to mankind, professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, again, speaking of pagan worship, and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over to the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So there is not one person on earth. So again, people, you know, they'll, unbelievers will throw this question. Well, how about people who live in countries where, you know, they've never been told the word? Okay, well, that's the purpose of missionaries. However, if somebody is truly seeking after to know the true God, the God that was revealed in scriptures, even if they don't have a scripture, Yahweh is very capable of revealing that truth to them, even though they have no human to bring it to them. We see that example, we see that happening in Muslim lands where people who have brought up in Islam, who have no idea, again, what the true truth of Yahweh's word, but are seeking after the truth, Yeshua has revealed themselves to them, and they, many are becoming born again and serving Yeshua again at a high price. Again, there's a great move of God in Iran. There's an underground church in Iran by many Muslims coming to faith in Messiah Yeshua. So there is no one out of Yahweh's reach. Yes, we, you know, that as much as possible, the word needs to be preached throughout the world. And that's the purpose, again, of missionaries. Again, the reason why you have Christians in China today was because missionaries brought the seed of the word there, and that seed grew, and a congregation of believers blossomed from that seed. The same in, again, Iran and all these lands. If there's a hunger and thirst to know God, to know the one true God, God will make a way. But they have to, again, still repent and turn to him. And again, that is where that revealing comes to, that call to people where the Ruach will reveal to them, hey, I want you to go to this land. I want you to teach and train them so they can learn more about me. Romans 8:18, we're getting to the end here. This is the end. For I consider the sufferings of this present time not to be worthy to be cared with compared with the coming glory to be revealed to us. So again, there is a coming glory that is going to be revealed to us at the return of Messiah Yeshua. Again, when we are go to be with them, whether by natural death or by the translation of us into his presence. We will, that full glory, that full understanding will be revealed to us when we are in his presence. Hallelujah. Elvina McCain, our Father, King. Father, I thank you for the gift of wisdom, knowledge, and revelation in you. I thank you for the gift of your word that reveals to us who you are and who we are in Messiah. I thank you that we continue to hunger and thirst for your righteousness. Father, I thank you that as we purpose to study your word, that as we are studying your word, the Ruach HaKodesh continues to give us that wisdom and knowledge and revelation we need to walk out our life in Messiah Yeshua and bring glory to you for your kingdom and your glory in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.